Good morning, and thank you all for holding. Your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer portion of today's conference. I would like to remind all parties the call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. And I would now like to turn the call over to Kathy Harbin. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Elan, and thank you all for joining us today for the release of another CDC Vital Signs, this one on the use of long-acting reversible contraception, also called LARC, among teens ages 15 to 19. You'll first hear remarks from Dr. Ileana Arias, Principal Deputy Director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. She is joined by Dr. Lee Warner, Associate Director for Science with CDC's Division of Reproductive Health, and Dr. Lisa Romero, also a co-author of the article. I'd like to turn the call over now to Dr. Arias.
Thank you, and thanks to all of you for joining us today. CDC works 24/7 to save lives and protect people. As part of our effort, on the first Tuesday of each month, we release a vital signs report highlighting a critical public health issue that faces the country, and importantly, what can be done about it. Those of you who cover CDC regularly know that we've used past vital signs to shed light on the economic, health, and societal costs of teen pregnancy to the teen mother and her child. We've all worked hard on this issue, and we're glad to say that we have seen declines in births to teens. It's clear that these declines are victories that help individuals, families, and communities as well. Yet, we can't be complacent when we hear about this news. We still need to help teens delay having sex or make informed choices about birth control if they are sexually active. Nationally, we know from earlier work done by CDC and others that nearly 90% of teens use birth control the last time they had sex. However, most teens use condoms and birth control pills, which are not always used consistently or correctly. Less than 5% of teens use one of the two most effective and reversible types of birth control, intrauterine devices, or IUDs, and implants, which are also known as long-acting reversible contraception, or LARC, L-A-R-C. With the use of LARC, less than 1% of users would become pregnant. Because of their effectiveness and their anticipated impact on teen pregnancy, we examined patterns of LARC use among female teens ages 15 to 19 who were seeking contraceptive services at federally funded family planning centers from 2005 to 2013. We focused on federally funded planning centers because they have long been leaders in providing family planning and other preventive services, particularly for teens and low-income individuals. In fact, these centers see about 1 million teens per year, or almost 10% of all teen girls in the United States. What we found in our analyses is that LARC use among teens seeking birth control services at these centers increased from 2005 to 2013, going from less than 1% to 7%. The use of implants rather than IUDs accounted for most of the increase in LARC use for both younger teens, that is those ages 15 to 17, and older teens, those 18 to 19. We also found that LARC use in 2013 was highest in Colorado, about 26%, but ranged widely from less than 1% to 20% in the remaining states. This vital signs report is a great reminder of the important role that health professionals have in preventing teen pregnancy. While the rate of births per 1,000 teens ages 15 to 19 has gone down 57% in the past two decades, from almost 62 per 1,000 teens in 1991 to about 27 per 1,000 teens in 2013, there were still more than 273,000 births to teens this age. Improved contraceptive use contributed substantially to this decline, but more needs to be done to increase awareness, access, and availability of the most effective contraceptive methods if we are to drive down teen pregnancy rates further. LARC, IUDs, and implants, once inserted, do not require any effort to use and, depending on the type of method, can prevent pregnancy for 3 to 10 years. IUDs and implants have failure rates of less than 1%. That's less than one pregnancy per 100 women during the first year of typical use. In comparison, oral contraceptives have a 9% failure rate and condoms have an 18% failure rate. LARC is safe and appropriate for teens and has been recommended as a first-line contraceptive choice for them by the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Health professionals can encourage teens to not have sex. Recognize LARC as a safe and effective choice of birth control for teens. Offer a broad range of birth control options for teens, including LARC, and discuss the advantages and disadvantages of each one. Seek training in LARC insertion and removal. Have supplies of LARC available, and explore the funding options that exist to cover costs. And finally, reminding teens that LARC by itself does not protect against sexually transmitted diseases, including HIV, and that condoms should also be used every time they have sex. Before I ask Dr. Warder to discuss the data and the findings in more detail, I want to bring to your attention two aspects of this vital science that are important to us. First, we have the opportunity to provide our teens with complete and accurate health information in a respectful and culturally appropriate way so that they can make healthy and good decisions about preventing pregnancy. This includes providing teens seeking contraceptive services with a client-centered approach to contraceptive counseling. With this approach, a client's reproductive life plan, social needs, contraceptive preferences are discussed along with medical information to identify the best birth control methods for her. Second, we can begin to address the barriers that can prevent teens from accessing LARC and health providers from offering LARC. This includes offering and discussing the advantages and disadvantages of a broad range of birth control options for teens, including LARC, and educating teens that LARC is a safe and effective choice of birth control. This also includes more providers being trained and educated on LARC insertion and removal and providing contraception at no or reduced cost. At CDC, we're working to see these data move quickly from science into practice. And now I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Warner to go through the important data in the Vital Science Report.
Thank you, Dr. Arias. I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk with all of you today about this Vital Science Report. We're encouraged by the media's response about our Vital Science series on preventing teen pregnancy. And this year, we focused on increasing access to LARC, as LARC represents the most effective type of reversible birth control for teens. It's nice when we can bring you positive news about teens taking responsibility for the reproductive health needs and the important role that health care providers can play in preventing teen pregnancy. It's also good to know that you remain interested in the dynamics that affect teens in our nation. So the good news that Dr. Arias shared with you before about increase in LARC use comes from analyses that were conducted using data from the Title X National Family Planning Program. This federally funded grant program supports confidential family planning and related preventive services, giving priority to teens as well as low-income and uninsured clients. The Title X program has taken a number of steps to increase awareness and availability of LARC for teens. These steps include, one, educating providers that LARC is medically safe for teens. Two, training providers on LARC insertion and the use of a counseling approach where the most effective contraceptive methods are discussed first. And three, providing contraception at no or reduced cost to the client. As a result of these efforts, the Title X program has seen an increase in use of LARC among teens. Nearly 8 million teens ages 15 to 19 sought contraceptive services during the period from 2005 to 2013 from service sites that are part of the Title X National Family Planning Program. The number of teens who adopted or continued use of LARC at their last visit increased from about 4,000 in 2005 to nearly 45,000 in 2013. In addition, the percent of teens using LARC increased from less than 0.5% in 2005 to more than 7% in 2013, as Dr. Arias had noted. During this time, we've also seen a shift from the use of both moderately effective methods, such as birth control pills, and the least effective methods, such as condoms, toward the most effective methods, that is, IUDs and implants. Specifically, use of moderately effective methods, again, birth control pills, for example, went down from about 77 to about 73%, and the use of least effective methods, such as condoms, decreased from about 23 to about 20%. We also found that increases over time were greater for implants than IUDs. Use of IUDs grew from less than 0.5% to almost 3%, while use of implants grew from almost 0% to more than 4%. While use of IUDs was more common in teens from 2005 to 2011, the use of implants became more common starting in 2012 and continuing into 2013. Finally, the use of LARC varied widely by state. In 2013, the highest rate of use of LARC amongst teens was in Colorado, about 26%, but use ranged widely from less than 1% to nearly 20% in the remaining states. This vital signs report suggests that health clinics that provide quality contraceptive services, including LARC, can take specific steps to increase awareness of and access to LARC among teens. The data from this vital signs can help identify areas where there are barriers to providing teens and can guide interventions to increase access to and awareness of LARC among teens who are sexually active. Finally, I'd like to remind you that May is Teen Pregnancy Prevention Month, and this is a great time when many community national groups organize special activities and programs. Please consider this vital signs information when you consider your editorial content for next month. We know that you have the ability to turn data into thoughtful narratives and dialogues on the conditions facing teens in your community. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Arias, and thank you, Dr. Warner. Alon, we are now ready for questions, please.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. You will be prompted to record your name, and please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. Our first question today is from Robert Lovis from Medscape Medical News.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about one of the obstacles or barriers that was reported in the study, that high cost. It's one thing for clinicians to become better educated about, you know, the safety and effectiveness of LARC and to learn how to, you know, insert and remove the devices. But what can the average doctor do in terms of dealing with the higher cost of IUDs and implants?
That's an excellent question. There is a difference in the startup cost and then over time, the relative cost of IUDs versus other forms of contraception, like the more popular forms, like the pill. In addition to that, there are subsidies that allow to reduce the cost of methods, and I'll let Dr. Warner and Dr. Romero give you more specific information about those costs.
Hi, again, thank you for your question. I agree with you. This is one of the biggest barriers that are experienced, particularly with teens and LARC, with the high upfront cost. If you look at it as an investment over time, it is actually more cost effective. And I think one thing that the Title X National Family Planning Program does is make these methods available to teens to consider amongst all the contraceptive options. Do you have anything to add, Dr. Romero?
The only thing I would add is that the Title X program is not large enough to cover all the costs of contraceptive and other family planning services, and it really relies on leveraging resources from other programs such as Medicaid. And we know that states that have Medicaid family planning expansions have which are able to cover family planning services are more likely to provide LARC on site, report fewer cost-related difficulties obtaining LARC, have extended weekend and evening hours, and have a higher percentage of clients paying for services with Medicaid, and they're able to assist clients with Medicaid enrollment. So although the costs are high, we are working with our Title X service sites as well as others to address this cost barrier.
What about private insurers? Are they covering the cost of IUDs and implants for teens on a parent's plan?
Just 1 minute, please. Well, I guess two things. One, the SNAP is really focused on the national Title X Family Planning Program, so we really didn't deal as much with the private insurers. But under the Affordable Care Act, plans are required to cover all FDA-approved methods of contraception without cost sharing, and LARCs, IUDs, and implants are FDA-approved methods.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So at least for women, and this would include teens, these should be covered without cost sharing. But, of course, there are some exceptions with this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. And our next question is from Tom Corwin from the Augusta Chronicle.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. The vast disparity between the states is really striking. Is there any further detail you can provide on why, you know, for instance, Colorado is so good and Mississippi is, you know, not as good, or the South in particular?
I think that's a fantastic question. Actually, we were wondering the same thing. And I think we have a couple of general thoughts on this. One is that Colorado is a state that has been known for working on addressing some of these barriers, at least in the Title X programs, by educating their providers that LARC is safe for teens, and going back to the previous caller, working on training the providers in insertion, having supplies on site, and then making sure their clinicians present the methods to teens who are sexually active or contemplating sexual activity using an approach in which LARCs are presented as a first option. I think for any further detail on this, I would actually recommend you contact the Office of Population Affairs, who has been working closely with their state Title X programs to understand better some of these disparities. And we can put you in touch with them.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ann Glauser from WCPN.
Hi. I was wondering what you make of the use and the rise of implants versus IUDs. I mean, what might be behind that?
Thank you for that question as well. I think one thing, and especially for younger teens, and you'll see this in the Vital Signs report, implants are generally more acceptable than IUDs, whereas IUDs are the uptake higher in 18 and 19-year-olds. And one reason, I think, is that younger teens might find the IUD to be a little more invasive. And also the idea of, we not like the idea of the possibility of painful insertion and removal of an IUD. And I think that the last piece is that the implants also are relatively new. So for the IUDs, I know some of the older ones are off the market, but for the newer redesigned IUDs and implants, those have become available in the last 10 years. So you expect the trajectory and uptake to be higher for implants than IUDs.
Okay, thanks.
Next question, please.
And as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please, for the next question. And our next question is from Maggie Fox from NBC News.
Thanks. I'm sorry. Can you just repeat what you said? I believe it was Dr. Warner about kids being scared of search and removal of an IUD. Did I understand that correctly?
No, what I was saying is that some teens may not be comfortable with having a foreign object as an IUD that's invasive placed in their body. Okay. They might instead prefer the implant in their arm.
Okay, so what was the word about, what did you say about removal? You said something about it.
So this is Dr. Arias. Teens, you know, interestingly, and once you think about it, it starts to make a little sense, might actually feel a little bit more squeamish about the potential of either insertion or removal, since it is a reversible form of contraception of an IUD versus an implant. And so there's some suggestion, some anecdotal and some data suggesting that teens actually may have different attitudes toward those two methods, and they might feel a little bit more squeamish about an IUD than they would about an insertion.
And I think to underscore that point, that's why we want to be sure to make LARCs or IUDs and implants available as options for teens among the array of options that are available.
And can you talk a little bit about, I know in some schools teens have joked about you can see the implants in a girl's arms and they're kind of, it's almost like a slut-shaming type of thing that goes on.
And I think that is one of the disadvantages with the implant is that for some teens there is the thought that the implant can be seen or felt. So I think that is... In most cases, you can't see it, but it is possible. And so, again, for those teens, they might prefer other methods as well.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please, for the next question. I am showing no further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you. This is Dr. Arias. The bottom line for us is that we encourage teens who aren't sexually active to continue to wait. But for teens who are choosing to have sex, we want them to make an informed choice. We want them to think about the most effective types of birth control and to ask their doctor or family planning counselor about LARC as well as other options. As we mentioned earlier, in 2013, nearly 90% of teens used birth control the last time they had sex, but fewer than 5% used LARC. We need healthcare professionals to help us remove the barriers and increase awareness, access, and availability of LARC. We also need to keep encouraging teens not to have sex and offer LARC as an option for those who choose to be sexually active. It is safe for teens. It's easy to use and very effective, and depending on the method, we know that it works for 10 to 10 years without any action on the part of that teen. So thank you very much for joining us, and if there are any other questions that you may have, please feel free to follow up with us offline.
This concludes today's media briefing teleconference. If you have other questions, please contact the Media Relations Office at CDC at 404-639-3286. Thank you.
Thank you, and this does conclude today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.